Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
I think Kevin 11 is here.
Okay.
Kevin Rudd is drumming up votes. But for what, you might ask? You know, is this about a human rights petition for Burma? Is this about having another go at the prime ministership? Well, no.
No.
It's for his signature blend of tea. There's a major tea brand that's done a huge promotion wanting an Australian blend by Aussies for Aussies. And he's one of the final five, and his blend is in the finals. And you will never guess who he's looking to for endorsement. This is off YouTube.
Now, Jasper, I want you to try some of my afternoon tea. It's really very interesting.
Oh, look at this. He's finally testing it. What do you think, Jasper? Good stuff? Jasper, come back. Come back. Come back.
Does it get the canine vote of approval?
I'm sure you gathered through that it's the cat and the dog
yes,
he got to taste.
He's roped his pets in.
Oh, wow.
There's some fundraising for the RSPCA going on. It's really super cute. It's up on our Facebook page if you want to check it out. Aaron and Helen on Facebook. He never was scared of, you know, using social media to drum up support, was he?
Not at all. But it's interesting how delicately the cat drank the tea,
yeah.
Which you'll see also, but you could hear. And then the dog just lapping it up, the big tongue, hitting that delicate china cup.
Oh, I hope they'd never use that cup again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hopefully Rudd didn't say, oh, I'll just polish the rest of that off. Each day, interest rates going up, interest rates going down, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
Well, there was a surprise surge in inflation. The figures came out yesterday. And looking at the things that have gone up, just you have a quick look around. The food overall has gone up about 6%. Petrol's gone up. But the standout thing that has just gone nuts is fruit, 67%. The price has gone up 67% in the past year.
Is that linked to natural disasters and stuff?
It is a little, yes, absolutely. And it's all pretty much linked to that one delicious herb, apparently, not a fruit. Bananas at $14 a kilo.
So we're getting rate rises potentially on the back of bananas.
Yep. I reckon it's time we in Sydney have our own veggie gardens again and fruit trees and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
I want to know, can you grow bananas in your backyard?
I've no idea.
Nor do I, but veggie, even just good old veggies, grow your tomatoes and your carrots and bits and pieces. Oh, look, I have a veggie garden.
You do?
I do. It's got some cos lettuce, which is so delicious, basil tree, which, again, is just something you snack on all the time, clover, some other one, which I can't remember what it's called, mint. Yeah, I'm not doing so well on that front with the cabbages that have been eaten.
That's fantastic. Oh, well, eaten by your family?
Oh, no,
or
bugs.
Okay.
Yeah. I should spray them.
Well, someone's getting fed at least.
That's right. And so these little cute strawberries that just won't. I don't think they'll ever grow. I think they're a poor choice. But I want to know, do you have the lemon trees and the orange trees and the apple trees? Give us some advice on gardening, your backyard tips. If these prices are going up and that's causing inflation issues, let's not buy it. Let's just avoid them and grow our own.
What do you manage to grow in your backyard? Can you please, a little bit of garden boasting room this morning?
Absolutely. Especially the banana one.
1-300-40-20-20. We want to hear about your garden. 1-300-40-20-20.
G'day, Sean. How are you going?
Good, yourself?
Oh, look good. Tell us about your veggie garden.
Well, we've pretty much got everything in it. We just grow seasonally, obviously. But we got a few fruit trees as well. We've got mandarins, oranges, and we planted bananas a while back. But they presented a problem because they were getting into the neighbours' plumbing. So,
oops.
Yeah, they absolutely go mental.
I'm sure I didn't flush that.
Exactly. But for the mandarins and oranges, we have them coming out of our ears at the moment. So it's quite a good season, but it does cut down the cost. And we've got some chickens as well, so, we've got about 10 chickens, so we never buy eggs anymore either. So.
Wow. Have there been times you've cooked a whole meal and it's all been from your garden?
Not the meat side of things. I'm a bit soft. I don't like to kill the chickens and eat them, but pretty much from the vegetables and salad side of things, yeah, definitely.
And how much work is it?
Oh, it's a little bit of work. The hardest thing is getting the weeds out initially, I guess. And once you set your irrigation up and you put your mulch on top, it's generally just maintenance and ensuring that it's fertilised, and the chickens help with that because obviously, you know, we use the manure. And yeah, it's quite a fun thing to do, to grow your own veggies and produce your own food as much as you can.
The thing is, though, does it taste better than the stuff you buy in the shops?
I would have to say definitely the tomatoes taste a lot better. The eggs definitely taste better because we sort of let them free range around the yard as well. So, majority of the beans are obviously fresh when you get them out. And the things like cabbages and broccoli, there's some natural pesticides that you can use, either garlic oil or rhubarb leaves. You boil them up and you use the liquid from that and spray it on. It kills most of the pests, but it can kill your lady beetles, which are a natural predator of aphids. So,
okay.
Good stuff. Good
high
on you,
praise
Sean.
Praise for veggie gardening. Love it. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome. Take care.
Yeah, you're too stoned about the bananas, but what are you going to do? Linnell, hello. How are you going?
Yeah, really good. Yeah. I wanted to tell you about the banana tree that I've got growing next to the garbage bin up in Hunter's Hill.
Uh-huh.
I have to fight the fruit bats for them all the time.
Oh, and, do you?
Yeah, and my husband, who was originally a farmer from Bangladesh, always keeps an eye on them, and he has some very strange, you know, ideas about gardening, and which I quite welcome. And the main thing about gardening is, you have to keep an eye on it. Like, it's not really hard work, but you have to be observant, like whether it needs watering, you know, weeding. People say, oh, I can never grow anything. But it's paying attention to your garden. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, on your way out, you have a look. On your way in, you have a look. And, you know, whether it needs watering, fertilising, weeding, whatever.
See,
and
yeah.
Like the previous caller, you plant to the season.
Uh-huh.
And you just have a little bit of knowledge about what, you know, and nurseries are a great source of information.
Okay.
And things, yeah.
Great.
But we've got a lot of green vegetables and tomatoes and things that are usually expensive in the supermarkets and stuff like that. I don't grow everything, but things like snow peas and tomatoes are usually the staple, and you can grow them in pots on your balcony or at your front door. So,
well, have you thought with your banana tree, if you fight off the fruit bats of maybe selling them for $7 a kilo to your neighbours, you can still make a good profit?
The bats or the bananas?
Oh, the bananas, not the bats.
They're pretty ugly-looking, gnarly-looking things, as like a lot of organic stuff is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, just an idea.
Before we let you go, can I just ask, have you got any good Bangladeshi farming tips for us?
Let me see. Oh, what is the good one? Lots of water, because they have floods 3 months of the year.
Okay. So recreate the flood in your own backyard. Oh, that would be an interesting one.
And can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
Is, like, as a Christian, I can't help believing in creation every time I see my garden.
Oh.
It's just the best illustration of what creation is.
Yeah, that's very true. Even when I look at my basil tree that's overgrown, not quite the same, but good on you, Linnell. Thank you for that. No, that's spot on.
You know, if there's any sector of the community that I probably wouldn't want on my bad side, it would be your sci-fi fans.
Oh.
You know, they're notoriously passionate. When you see any of those big comic sci-fi conferences, really passionate, tends to be, according to this stereotype, you know, high level of technical ability.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to get hacked for the rest of my life, basically.
That's a good point. Now, who's done this? Who has done this wrong thing?
George Lucas.
Oh.
You think, you know, king of the geeks as the creator of Star Wars. But he has taken a prop designer to court to try and stop him from making Stormtrooper helmets. Very popular item. You know, those white helmets with the black trim on them. They were Darth Vader's guards.
Absolutely, yes.
So it's gone all the way to the British Supreme Court. And he's actually lost. George Lucas has lost. Sort of. Because now this prop designer can make and sell the helmets everywhere except the USA.
Mm.
So I don't know. I think it might be a whole new border trafficking issue that starts up out of this in the US.
It's on the border of Mexico and America.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be these people dressed up in stormtrooper outfits, perhaps.
Yeah, you got to have your officers with sniffer dogs and lightsabers.
Yeah.
We've got a resident vet around here. His name's Dr. Mike.
I've been wondering over the last 3 weeks or so, have you got chooks yet?
Oh, you know, we are really the poor performers on the block. So we're settled into a new area, and all of our neighbours are getting chooks, and they're paying out on us pretty badly because they're building these palatial chook houses. You know, they're proudly displaying their beautiful point of lay, eyes of browns, and you know, wonderful wholemeal eggs they're getting from them, and we're completely chook deficient. We've got nothing.
Oh, do they give you some eggs at least?
No. They just give us curry, you know. They just tease us and say, oh, so you're a vet, but no chooks in the house. You know, lift your game.
Yeah, is there anything we don't get competitive about? That's so funny.
No. We're keeping up with the Joneses. It's just getting harder and harder.
At least it's chooks and not a sports car, but anyway.
Yes. No, let's keep it real.
We have heard a lot of late in the media about the Hendra virus. Wondering if you could give us some, I guess, some information, help us out a bit with it all.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just such an emotive issue. Mm. And I guess it's wherever something is poorly understood that, you know, our first response is fear and sometimes not even rational behaviour or rational response. And I guess the history on it, a disease that was, really only identified for the first time not that long ago, but has caused a really emotional response. I mean, the hard facts of the matter are is that it's a disease which is present, a virus which is present in the flying fox population, and thankfully has been mostly contained sort of from northern rivers up through Queensland into Cairns. And if we'd been having this conversation 2 weeks ago, it would have been a lot simpler, because what we could have said then was present in the flying fox population, can be transmitted rarely to horses and very, very rarely to humans. And so, and I guess the spin that's occurred just this week is, you know, the first time that it's been identified in a dog.
It's been a real development. The idea that dogs can catch it.
It's disturbing, isn't it? Because I guess for a couple of reasons. One is that the dog population, of course, is, many more of us have dogs than have horses. Mm. And so that the feeling of risk sort of feels like it's spreading. Equally, if you thought that you knew most things about a disease, you could start to, feel a little bit comfortable. But when the goalposts suddenly move, it does make you feel nervous. You sort of think, things that we should have been doing in the past, or are there new things that we'll need to do in the future? So it is pretty concerning.
There are good controls in government and so forth to make sure, and the monitor outbreaks and things like that. So as a society, we shouldn't really panic or anything, should we? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, Aaron, I think you've really hit the nail on the head, but oftentimes our response is to that. And so I was looking online this morning, I saw some of the front page in some of the Queensland newspapers had things like bomb the bat. And so what that was that, like, what I'm interpreting from that is that, kind of a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to say, well, doesn't start with bats at all. It's actually flying foxes. But, the knee-jerk reaction is, okay, well, if that's the source of the infection, then let's get rid of that. Mm. And, of course, that's, nonsensical or, almost impossible. And just as we stand back and look at it, you know, it's an awfully big ecosystem, and you can't just go messing with it.
Is that the same logic that brought in cane toads to get rid of those pesky cane beetles?
Yes. So let's not repeat those. Just not repeat those mistakes. I think that the way that government is responding, so vets around the country are getting daily updates on what's happening. I've just got to say that the way that the government in Queensland and the biosecurity teams there are handling themselves very, very professionally. You know, we can have great pride in the way that the government's responding. And so, what we didn't know was that behind the scenes, for all of the outbreaks, dogs and cats, other species on the properties were being monitored, and up until this stage have never come up with a positive. The dog in question hasn't actually shown clinical signs. It's just, and in fact had two negative tests to the to Hendra virus before just showing this one positive one. So there are excellent biosecurity measures in place. I think, you know, when the two premiers got together yesterday and said, look, we really need to up the resources that are going into research, I think that was absolutely pivotal thing to do. And so, really the antidote for fear is knowledge,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's going to be that knowledge base that's going to allow us to make rational rather than irrational decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the long and short is that that it's a virus which occurs in flying fox populations, very, very rarely in horses, and you know, incredibly rarely in other species. And so, you know, if today you own both a horse and a dog, there's nothing to be worried about.
Okay.
However, the caveat to all that is that anywhere where there's flying foxes, it potentially is a concern. And if you have an acutely sick horse, a horse that is suddenly sick, always, you know, have good hygiene practices as you interact with it. And just talk to your vet straight away.
Dr. Mike, as usual, it is a pleasure to speak with you. Chat to you again next week.
Talk to you then, guys.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.